Hello and welcome to The Price of Football, the show that looks at the money behind a beautiful game with me, Kevin Day, and Liverpool University's Kieran Maguire. It's one of our extra pods today, Kieran, but before we get into that, a big thank you to everyone who took part in our end of season quiz on Wednesday night. It was jolly good fun. I don't normally use the word jolly, Kieran, but that was jolly good fun, wasn't it?
It was an absolute blast. Everybody seemed to enjoy themselves. The questions were a mix of the financial and the non-financial, and I didn't manage to libel anybody because you kept me on the straight and narrow.
Well, it was a struggle, Kieran. I mean, to point out that the laws of libel and slander do apply also on end of season football finance pods, but yeah, I don't think you'd have to be an expert to put two and two together with some of the things you said about some of the club owners we were talking about here. But it was very good. I have to say, the knowledge that some of our listeners clearly have about football finance, Kieran, indicates either that you've done a very good job or they need to get out more, basically. As I say, this is one of our extra pods. It's an interview, and it's an interview with a very interesting man, Jose Antonio Cachaza, who is the managing director of La Liga in India. An intriguing job and an intriguing man, actually, as I say. So this is what he had to say about his life marketing Spanish football in India. Jose, thank you so much for joining us today. Before we talk about your role representing La Liga in India, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background in football?
Well, I mean, I think I am above everything else a football fan. No, yeah. I mean, I grew up in a small town in Galicia, no, in northwest of Spain near La Coruña, and basically I grew up 200 meters from our local stadium. No, so my Sundays when I was a little boy was going every other weekend, was going to see my local team. No, that it's called Racing de Ferrol. And I had proud to say that on last Sunday, we won promotion to the second division. No, to La Liga, great. Second division. No, it was today La Liga Smart Bank. So I'm happy. So that's me. I am above all a football fan since I was a little kid. As a professional, well, I never really planned to work professionally in football. No, I was always related sort of. No, I was a terrible player, even worse than terrible player. So then, when I was not even 16, I became a football referee. No, I wanted to be inside the game. So I never made it really big because I quit for going to college and moved to the US to do my graduate work there. And basically, just moving fast forward, as a professional, I started working as a consultant in a consulting firm. Then I moved to the dark side, I mean, to work full-time in football when I had the chance to work by this company that no longer exists called Santa Monica Sports, that we hold all media and, broadcast back then only, and marketing rights of the Spanish Football Federation. No, so Spanish Football Federation back then didn't have a marketing department. We were the outsourced marketing department. So I was in charge mostly of, I was marketing director, so in charge of designing sponsorship programs and approval of proposals coming out. And I was also in charge of selling the international broadcast rights of Spain national team matches and Copa del Rey final. Back then, I have different other jobs. So I worked for Malaga FC the year of Champions League. I was country manager of PokerStars.com in Spain. I few years working as a consultant. And in the last 6.5 years, discovering India first and most specifically is what they pay me for, promoting La Liga football, La Liga clubs, our competition, and I realize that at large our football in the Indian subcontinent. No, so pretty much, if I were trying to do my resume, somebody wanted to hire me, this is me.
Why did La Liga decide that it needed a presence in India? And did you have any experience of that remarkable country before you got the job?
Well, I'll answer first to the last question because it's the easiest answer. No.
Oh, right, okay.
And then I'll explain to you why they choose a profile like mine. No. So the reason for coming to India comes from when Mr. Tebas gets to the presidency of La Liga. It's now 10 years back. He basically brings in four key elements on his strategy. You can summarize one in two. No, but the first one is, and the most relevant, is to manage to get the central sales of the broadcast rights, which make a huge difference in terms of revenue for clubs, especially for the smaller clubs, no? And second, to bring in a strong financial control, no? What we nickname economic fair play. So those are the two key elements of his project. But then, pretty much related to the growth of the value of our broadcast rights, it comes the international expansion. No, and parallel to it, our digital strategy to be more active digitally worldwide. So, I mean, why international is so relevant for broadcast? I mean, the answer is pretty easy and can be explained with two figures. No, broadcast rights. We all know that broadcast rights, we divide domestic and international. Domestic is our market, being that Britain, Germany, France is our market. We had to deal with it, whatever money we can get from it. But internationally, in theory, we play with the same rules, no? And we are all the same. I say in theory because it's not true, no? English League, they discovered this way before than all the others. And and also because of the product they sell, they are the number one. And these are the two figures that come in. So when we started this strategy 7-8 years ago, I think the international broadcast revenue of EPL was around, I'm talking euros, okay, 1.2 yeah. billion euros, or maybe a little bit more. Talking out of memory, La Liga revenue, global revenue was 600 million. So there's a gap that we thought we could close, no? We could try to close, but for doing it, we had to do it differently. I mean, this basically explains it, no? So that's why we started first opening offices in China, Dubai, and other countries, and then we also doubled the bet, bringing in the what we call the Global Network project, and we hire a lot of young, pushy professionals that give us personal presence or direct presence in more than 40 countries, no? Mm-hmm. So that's the reason. It's part of a strategy. And India, why India itself? Well, I think if you ask any corporation of any sector, it will probably answer almost the same, no? It's a country that maybe today's revenues on your industry are not the biggest, but the promise of increasing in a future is clearly there, no? And we all know, huge population, one of the fastest growing economies in the world, a cricket country, let's not forget this, but where football is growing and also is growing in the most relevant commercial markets, as is Tier 1 and Tier 2 cities. So maybe I'm talking too much, but this is about
it. No, not at all. It's very interesting. Is your aim there, Jose, just to grow awareness of Spanish football, or do you hope to grow Indian football as well?
Oh, well, everything has to go together.
Right.
Everything has to go together. And again, when we work in marketing, you need to have at least a very few figures clear. No. And I insist on what I just said. India is a cricket country.
Yeah.
So to a level that, depending on the source you use, the consumption of live sports, no, of the watching of live sports is between 85% and 90% cricket.
Right.
So all the others, from NBA to football, kabaddi that has been big here in India, we are fighting for the remaining 10%. No, okay. So that's the environment we are living with. And also, for the growth of football, I think it will be terrible that the growth of football in India were only about the World Cup, EPL, La Liga, Bundesliga, and whatever. I mean, it's really important that the ecosystem evolves with the growth of the local football, both India national team, and I always defend the relevance and the significance of helping ISL to grow, no? And that's fundamental, no? You need a strong league. And also, what we always said is something that our chairman always says, we want to be the second league in any country we work, being the first one, the local league. Mm-hmm. That's our philosophy.
Yeah. And you have a number of grassroots projects, don't you? Going way down as far as school level, don't you? You're investing there.
Well, yes. We are working here basically in two directions. No, it's something that is the biggest shortfall of Indian football. No, and I've been talking to the new management of AIFF, and they are quite aware of this. No, the lack of youth competitions. No, you are working talking from Britain. I am Spanish, and in our countries, every weekend there are thousands and thousands of matches. No, that doesn't happen in India. Maybe with cricket, but not with football. So it's important. When India needs to invest to get to the last level. Of course, foreign leagues, we are not the solution of that. No, but as part of our strategy of growth strategy, is to participate on that. I always say in a modest way. No, so with a local partner, our local partner, which is called Indian Track, we developed a project of football schools that right now we are working in 10 cities with more than the last few years I got was 2,200 students. No, we're still a little bit below where we were before COVID, but going back little by little.
Mm. How did you go about raising the profile of Spanish football there, Jose? And is it possible, for example, for everybody in India to watch Spanish football on TV?
Well, I think it's not possible to watch almost no sport for everybody in India. No, it's the audiovisual market is quite fragmented. No, and if you realize, other than those matches that they have to be given, obviously cricket usually, to the state channel, I cannot say in DD Sports, sports product is on pay TV, no? Mm-hmm. Being Star, being Sony, there's some developments now, like the new, which is our matches are, Geo Cinema, offer for free both the World Cup and the last IPL, no? So they are not that easy. No sport is easily available to anyone, but at least right now our matches are in Geo Cinema, that so far they are for free. No, but I think we are where we had to be. No, we have been working these last 2 years with the new sports project of Viacom 18 in India. So we were the first property, biggest sports property they signed, and after that came IPL and also Serie A, League One. So we are, I think, in the next big sports giant in India. No, so that for us is the place to be. But if you look at the broadcast market in India, it's quite complex. No, and there's no just one India. There's many Indias. No, and probably you have huge parts of India, which is today the cricket territory, that they are totally oblivious to football in general, not only to La Liga.
It's so difficult to compete with cricket. I mean, we just had the IPL final, which came down to the last ball, and we were watching it here in England. So that's a very tough market for you to divert people away from cricket to football is going to be a very difficult long-term task, isn't it? But I imagine you don't want to stop people watching cricket. You want people to watch cricket and football.
No, no, absolutely. I mean, you cannot compete with cricket. Yeah. It's impossible. No, it's you know, to the first thing when you are trying to launch your product is to know in what market you are trying it and where you are. No, and the greatness of sports is that is not cricket or football. No, so what it has to be is cricket and football, and our job is to help them choose in football La Liga, so cricket and La Liga. That tries to be our job. And that's, for example, why our brand ambassador in India is Rohit Sharma. No.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a huge Spanish football fan. He's a huge Real Madrid fan. So it was just right. And the message to the fans is quite clear. No, say, listen, if your hero loves our football, you can love it too. It's as easy as that, no?
I was really intrigued, Jose, to read about the Spanish-Hindi football dictionary. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this is a project that we have been launching in several countries. The first one, it came in China. I think our colleagues in China came with this idea. And I'll be honest. No, when I saw it, a dictionary is a boring thing. No, I never thought about launching. And suddenly, 1 year ago, a Spanish diplomat in the Spanish embassy of Bangladesh contacted me. Said, "Oh, we think this will work in the market." So I say, "All right, okay, let's do it." It's something that is already done. It's just an adaptation. It's not that difficult. It allows us to do it together with Instituto Cervantes, which is like the Spanish equivalent to the British Council, for you to understand, no, the Spanish International Cultural Institution and the local embassies. So we decided not to do just one. I say, okay, Bangladesh is cool, but we'll do also Spanish Hindi and Spanish Indian Bengali and Bangladeshi Bengali. So we did three dictionaries in the subcontinent. No, and also I thought when I saw the dictionary itself, it's more like a vocabulary more than a pure dictionary. So it's a quite graphic design with translation of information of our clubs, our cities, and it's a really beautiful little book for young people. No, so it also gets us to a subsidiary part of our job. No, so we realize when we're starting coming to the different countries, in my case, India, no, the Indian subcontinent, that we are not only promoting our football. No, I mean, in a sense, we are relevant for promoting the image of Spain as a country. No, so it basically, this little project, it hits both targets.
Well, talking of promoting Spain and the Spanish league in general, does every Spanish club get behind that? Does every Spanish club have a presence in India now as well?
Well, no. And we don't expect that either. No. Okay. Right now, what we expect and is a plan or a part of our Boost program, the program Impulso in Spanish, is that part of the finance that clubs are getting from CBC has to be used in developing their international profile. Mm-hmm. But, of course, that's one thing we work, our teams in Madrid work with them, is to help them choose strategic markets for them, no, where they want to make an extra effort. I mean, it will be impossible and not the wisest thing to try to increase to work in 50 markets. I mean, that only the very big clubs, kind of Real Madrid, Barcelona, Man U, and very few others have size enough for being big in almost every market. No, so in the case of India, we have a few clubs interested. So Sevilla and Atletico Madrid, which is not a bad thing, is strategic for them. And then we have other clubs that are doing smaller interactions, such as Villarreal, Alaves, Cádiz, Celta de Vigo, Betis. So, but also it needs to be scaled to the right size. This.
This episode of The Price of Football is brought to you by the AI-powered workspace Notion. We are living in an era of information overload, and we have more knowledge than ever before. But what do we do with it all? If you're in Notion, you put that knowledge to work.
It's a workspace designed not just for making progress, but getting inspired. And all I can say on a personal level is, for somebody whose life is quite chaotic, and I'm writing pieces for government and newspapers and media content, I've got my university commitments and I'm supposed to be writing a book, I use Notion all the time because it brings order into chaos.
Well, if you need order brought to your chaos, you can try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/priceoffootball. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/priceoffootball, and start turning your ideas into action. That's notion.com/priceoffootball.
Hi, I'm Steve Lamack, and every week I'm joined by Music Allies Head of Insight, Stuart Dredge, on The Price of Music, the weekly podcast all about the money behind the music industry. In each episode, we discuss the very latest goings-on in the music business and dig into the finances behind the big stories.
So whether you're a music lover who just wants to know more about what really goes on in the industry, or you're an aspiring musician, manager or label owner who wants some inside knowledge on how Spotify's financial model really works, or what the future holds for independent live music venues, this is a show for you.
Subscribe to The Price of Music in your podcast app now. See you soon.
Jose, given England's relationship with India, are you surprised that the Premier League doesn't have an equivalent to you out there? And are there other European leagues that do have a presence out there in India?
Well, no, because I know that's a different strategy, what they have done. No, and basically, as I said before, no, if we want to catch up with EPL, we need to do things differently, no? And I'm pretty sure they didn't feel the need of doing it. No, I know that things are changing. No, EPL now is opening offices. I think they opened a commercial office in Singapore, and they were considering another locations. No, so in a sense, Serie A, the Italians, they are also opening offices. The French in China, they have a joint office with the federation. So nobody's being as aggressive as we are, but they are following different strategies. No, and if you look at EPL, I mean, if you look at the results of the last international rights tender, broadcast rights, it didn't work that bad for them, no? So different strategies. And especially, we have a very good relationship with EPL, no? And our international team in Madrid regularly meet with them, and we work with other big leagues of Europe, no? So there are different strategies. We work differently. And, of course, in India, we had to catch up with them, no? Because, as you said, the relationship of India with Britain is stronger.
Mm. Has it been harder, Jose, to sell Spanish football now that you don't have those three huge superstars in Messi, Ronaldo and Neymar?
Well, listen, I won't say business as usual, because every time I talk to somebody, I had to answer this same question. No, no, I mean, of course it's relevant that we had surely the most exciting two-man competition in football history. It never happened before that the two topmost players in the world playing in the same league, fighting one another with their clubs twice or thrice or even four times, five times per year. No, I mean, the only thing I can find in the history of team sports, I mean, individual sports, a different story, is the years of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird in the NBA. I cannot find anything similar at the global scale. I know in England you have a lot of situations, but English football has been more about the club than the stars. No, so this it's been quite unique. And also another different thing, it's not that usual that even the biggest players, as both Cristiano and Messi, are at the top level for 10 years. That's unseen, no? I mean, maybe Franz Beckenbauer was, but look at Johan Cruyff. No, his years of glory were less. Pelé, basically, Santos was like the Harlem Globetrotters of football in the 60s. No, so this has been quite unique. Well, Zidane was there too, no? But so, yeah, it's a matter that now I think that they are close to retirement. Like the throne is empty for now, no? So it affects our image? Of course it does. The truth is that global audiences keep growing, no? So, but we cannot be self-complacent with this, no? So it's important that the new stars come up, no? So both Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico, and other teams, they have very young prospects. So we need to keep working with this, no? And also let's not forget this, and this is the fundamental of football. First, football is a team sport. Let's not forget this. And players come and go. Leagues and clubs stay.
Yeah. Finally, Jose, you mentioned the global audience, and you have a presence, of course, in India and China. You said, are there other countries, other areas that you plan to try to promote La Liga in the future?
No. We are already working worldwide. No, and okay. Also our three most relevant markets in terms of revenue are Orden doesn't matter. United States plus Mexico, where we have a joint venture, China, and what's called MENA, no, Middle East, Northern Africa. Yeah. India, in terms of revenue, is a very small market for us compared to these big three. No, so. We and we cannot forget our traditional international markets, as is Spanish-speaking Americas. No, Spanish and Portuguese-speaking. No, Spain has been traditionally the best gateway for South American players to European football. No, so those markets are clearly relevant for us. Even European markets are clearly relevant for us. UK is a very relevant market for us. So now, as I said, we have people in 40 countries. No, so it's not just India and China. No, India and China are strategic markets for us, but we are working in many others.
As just in terms of being a proud Spanish citizen, Jose, you must be immensely pleased that Spanish football as a product is so popular around the world. I mean, in England as well, there are many football fans, I know, especially young football fans who watch Spanish football as avidly as they watch English football.
No, yeah, of course we are. No, and many of these things, how important it is for the image of your country is when you are abroad. No, I remember once having lunch with a Spanish diplomat in Delhi. He told me, "Say, listen, we are just investing and working hard in developing worldwide the brand Spain, the brand of Spain as a country. But the only thing that's every day in the newspaper is Real Madrid, Barcelona, and sometimes Atletico, no? And if you go to Britain, probably will happen the same, no? It's probably have every day Man U, Liverpool, Now City, and and that's what something that unites, no? And when I came to India, you asked me before, do you have any expertise in India? I said, no at all. And basically, what they consider in La Liga, so either we get someone who is an expert of India and someone who understands how Spanish football works at the insides, no? They couldn't find a person that had both characteristics. So they thought that better find a crazy guy who could go to India and know the internal whereabouts of Spanish football, and that happened to be me, no? But one thing I realized from the beginning, no, and this is something like a deep thought that drove my work here in these more than 6 years, is I summarize it in one sentence. I am not in India to sell football. I am in India to sell emotions. That's what football is. And if we don't understand this, we won't be able to do our job right.
Jose, it's been fascinating to talk to you and to get some insight into your work out there. And we wish you all the best in the future. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much. And whenever you need a crazy Spaniard who lives in India talk about football, I love to talk about football, even being taped, but most especially in the pub having a beer. That's the best place for talk of football.
Absolutely. Next time you're here, let us know and we'll come and join you. It's been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Kieran, it's very interesting. He's clearly very passionate about what he does, but I suppose it's an indication that the other big leagues in Europe are doing everything they can to try and compete with the Premier League. I mean, he sort of indicated as such, didn't he, that these, you know, they're getting out into other countries to try and grab a little bit of the audience that is watching the English Premier League.
You're absolutely right. The Premier League's smartest decision was in 1992 to get out into the international markets and effectively to give the product away.
Mm.
And that what they then found was that there was an appetite for it globally. And when it came to renew those TV rights, especially for subscription channels, the Premier League was in a pretty strong negotiating position because once you've got football in your blood, nobody wants to cut the cord. And therefore, it's absolutely great for reducing what we sometimes refer to as the churn rate. And that's always a concern for any subscription business. The Premier League got there first. It leveraged on the unpredictability of the competition. It was very well marketed. And since then, I think La Liga at the time were probably a bit sniffy. They say, yeah, we are Spanish football. Why do we need to go to India? Why do we need to go to China? Why do we need to go to Nigeria? But when they've seen the value of the rights, and the Premier League is now making the thick end of £2 billion a year from international rights, you can see why they're casting envious eyes. So, yes, he's got a job on his hands, A, with the Premier League, and B, of course, in India, with the religion that is cricket.
Well, yes, he mentioned that, didn't he, as well? But as he said, you've got cricket, you've also got kabaddi. But as he said, if you're only competing for the 10% that aren't obsessed with cricket and kabaddi, that's still a lot of people to compete for, isn't it?
Yes, I believe India has now overtaken China as the world's most populous question. Good pub quiz question there for you folks, just in case. Or if you're on one of those dates and there's a lull in the conversation, you know me, Kevin. I'm always a little bit concerned. I always have my whenever I used to go out on a date, I always used to bring post-it notes with me, and then sort of surreptitiously disappear for a minute and go, oh, what am I supposed to say next? And then go back and try to engage somebody in conversation, normally to an empty table.
As our Patreons who took part in the quiz, Kieran, discovered this week, because you admitted that one of the questions was one that you asked Gail, the Baroness, the first time you went out to dinner. You actually introduced into the dinner conversation the notion of asking the Baroness whether or not she knew who was the only football team to get parachute payments that didn't play in the Premier League.
I was floundering at the time, and I thought I wasn't going to seal the deal. So I thought, well, emergency questions. Richard Herring has made a career out of it in his podcast. So at the time, it was pre-podcast days. I used to use post-it notes.
Very good. And just to clarify, Keir, churn. You mentioned churn. I presume that means people who subscribe and then unsubscribe. Is that right?
That's right. You normally sign up. It's a bit like if you've got a contract with a phone company. You normally sign up for 12 or 18 months, and then they try to keep you. If you're happy, then you keep up that subscription. But the movies don't tend to be a big issue for people. The likes of Succession and Game of Thrones, that's not historically worked. Premier League football is the golden child.
Mm. And I suppose we should mention, Kieran, as well, the mention of movies leads me on to Bollywood, which is something else, a huge obsession on the subcontinent, and understandably so, because they are amazing films to watch.
Mm.
But there's something we didn't sort of acknowledge, and perhaps I should have done during the interview. Even for that 10%, of the Indian market they're looking for, it's actually less than that, Kieran, because there are huge swathes of the population who won't be able to subscribe to watch Premier League football or La Liga will they? So, I mean, so it, the market is probably slightly smaller than we suggest.
Yes, yes. Although what we do see in India is an awful lot of people use mobile phones as a means of consuming data. And, you know, I appreciate that there is just like, and let's be honest, just like in this country, there's a huge gap and there's an extending gap between wealth and poor. That is a way that is sort of for many people is now deemed to be a staple of life. You know, ultimately, you know, food, clothing, and shelter come first, but mobile phones and the ability, and it's very cheap in India also to get data is an alternative, and not necessarily through registered channels, shall we say?
Yeah, yeah. I performed in Mumbai some years back. It's the most amazing experience. Yeah, there was this cultural exchange group decided that they were fed up bringing Shakespeare over to Mumbai, so they thought they'd bring a taste of contemporary London comedy. It was fantastic. They gave me my own scriptwriter, and I had to write 20 minutes about current affairs in India. At the time, it went down very well.
Brilliant.
Yeah, because apparently there aren't that many outlets in India for people to hear people take the piss out of the government. So they thoroughly enjoyed it. Our next Price of Football live show is upon us. As we said at the quiz this week, we announced to our patrons that there will be some new dates released soon. We've got a team now, Kieran. We've got people working on our live tour, so we'll certainly be heading to Ireland, we'll be heading to Scotland, we'll be heading to Jersey and all points in between, starting in the autumn and going through till next year. We'll certainly be coming to Salford, which I'm very much looking forward to, as that's a wonderful theatre. But our next one is next Tuesday, Kieran. We've got the tickets arrived this morning for the trains, very exciting. And talking of tickets, there are now officially two left, I believe. So if you want to go to Plymouth Argyle's website for that show, Plymouth Argyle's Home Park Stadium on Tuesday the 6th of June. We'd love to see you there. Thanks to everyone who's donated to the pod via our Patreon page. If you'd like to make a small monthly contribution, then please go to patreon.com/priceoffootball, and then you too can take part in our sporadic quizzes. If you have a quiz, they were, I've said this a couple of times this week, Kieran, but the sporadic quizzes, they were a great band, weren't they?
Yes.
If you have a question you'd like answered on the show, email us at questions@priceoffootball.com. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The Price of Football. Price of Football.